Procrastination is an act of self-hatred, you know?
Really? Asked the artist.
Absolutely. If you really loved yourself, you'd relinquish all your feelings of not being good enough to be great and renounce all slavery to your weakness. You'd stop focusing on your deficiencies and celebrate your amazing qualities. Just think about it. There's no person on the planet today who has the unique stack of gifts that you have. Actually, in all of history, there's never been even one person exactly like you. And there never will be. Yes, you're that special. That's an indisputable fact. So embrace the full force of your lavish talent, luminous strengths, and breathtaking powers. Let go of the destructive habit of breaking the commitments you make to yourself. Failing to keep self-promises is one of the reasons so many of us don't love ourselves. Not following through on what we tell ourselves we'll do so destroys our sense of personal worth and dissolves our self-esteem. Keep behaving like that, and the unconscious part of you will begin to believe you're not worth anything. And remember the psychological phenomenon known as the self-fulfilling prophecy I walked you through earlier. We always perform in a way that is aligned with the way we see ourselves. And so, our thinking creates our results. And the less we value ourselves and our powers, he went on, the less power we have access to. The billionaire watched a group of butterflies fly by before continuing. That's just the way it all works. So, my suggestion is that you stop putting things off, flex those willpower muscles we talked about inside the Taj Mahal, and make the remainder of your life an exercise in audacity, a testimony to exceptional productivity, and a rare expression of unstained beauty. Honor all you truly are by living your genius instead of loathing yourself by denying your specialness. Procrastination is an act of self-hatred, the billionaire repeated. So really go all in on installing the 20-20-20 formula as the core way of managing your morning. The billionaire showed the framework to the entrepreneur and the artist. You'll find it reproduced on the enhancement. As you can see from this learning model, there are 3 20-minute pockets to install, and then practice to mastery level. The first 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula requires that you move. Simply put, doing some sweaty exercise first thing every morning will revolutionize the quality of your days. The second pocket encourages you to reflect for 20 minutes. This segment is designed to help you re-access your natural power, boost self-awareness, dissolve your stress, fuel your happiness, and restore your inner peace in an era of acute overstimulation and excessive activity. And you'll round out this 60-minute victory hour of personal fortification with 20 minutes centered around ensuring that you grow, whether that means investing some time reading a book that will improve your understanding of how the best lives were made, or an article that will refine your professional prowess, or listening to an audio session on how the virtuosos accomplish their unusual results, or watching an educational video that will show you how to lift your relationships or increase your finances or deepen your spirituality. As you cats now know, the leader who learns the most wins. One of the most helpful things I've ever learned from the Spellbinder was that starting my mornings with a strong workout, pretty much right after I jumped out of bed, was of the utmost importance. I still remember his actual words, and they were firm. You must begin your day with intense exercise. This is a non-negotiable. Otherwise, the 20-20-20 formula won't work, and I'll take back your membership in the 5 a.m. club. 3 doves flew over the billionaire. He eyed them with a giant grin, blew a kiss to one, and then advanced his discourse on the morning routine of history makers. Training rigorously first thing in the morning is a total game changer. Moving vigorously shortly after you get up will generate an alchemy in your brain, based on its neurobiology, which will not only wake you up fully, but electrify your focus and energy, amplify your self-discipline, and launch your day in a way that makes you feel on fire. Now, to be ultra-practical for you two, I'll say that your workout could mean taking a spinning class, or performing a bunch of jumping jacks and burpees, or skipping like the pro boxers love to do, or doing wind sprints. Not sure what will work best for you. The real key here, though, is to make sure you sweat.
Why? Asked the artist, now taking copious notes.
For the reason you'll see on the diagram. As you now know, cortisol is the hormone of fear. It's made in the cortex of the adrenal glands and is then released into the blood. Cortisol is one of the main materials that stunts your genius and devastates your implicit opportunity to make history. Very good scientific data confirms that your cortisol levels are highest in the morning.
Fascinating information, observed the entrepreneur as she performed another stretch in the Roman sunshine.
Yes, it is. So exercising from 5 to 5:20 a.m. for just 20 minutes will significantly lower your cortisol and therefore dial you into your top performance. Fantastic way to start a morning, right? Science has also shown there's a vital link between physical fitness and cognitive ability. The sweating from a powerful workout releases BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which supercharges that organ for a winning day.
Wow, said the entrepreneur, also taking notes at a furious pace.
BDNF has been shown to repair brain cells damaged by stress and accelerate the formation of neural connections, so you think better and process faster, expounded the billionaire. Another gargantuan competitive advantage for sure. Oh, and it also promotes neurogenesis, so you'll actually grow new brain cells. What's that alone worth to you?
Wow times two, shouted the artist, sounding very corny versus displaying any hint of cool.
My business will be untouchable, and I personally will become unbeatable as I execute on all these ideas you're so generously sharing with us, offered the entrepreneur. Modeling what she'd seen Mr. Riley do when others had been kind to him, she performed a slight bow to show her appreciation.
Absolutely, agreed the billionaire.
And by exercising intensely during the first 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula, you'll also release dopamine, which you well know is the neurotransmitter of drive, along with elevating your amounts of serotonin, the wonderful chemical that regulates happiness. This means that by 5:20 a.m., while your competitors are counting sheep, you're already amped to lead your field, achieve excellent results, and make the day ahead epic.
Would it be possible for you to be specific about what we need to do in order to make sure we're up with the sun? Requested the entrepreneur.
I mean, can you get into a little bit of detail about what behaviors we must perform so we actually get out of bed when that alarm clock goes off? I hope that's not a dumb question. Is that too basic?
It's a great question, said the artist as he stroked his girlfriend's back.
It's a fabulous question, exclaimed the tycoon. And sure, like I've suggested, buy an old-school alarm clock. That's what I use. As I said in Agra, you never want to sleep with any technology in your bedroom. I'll explain why soon. Once you have your alarm clock, advance the time on it from the actual time to 30 minutes ahead. Then set the alarm for 5:30 a.m.
Really? Indicated the artist. That seems odd.
I know, admitted the billionaire. But it works like magic. You trick yourself into thinking you're getting up later, but you're actually rising at 5 a.m. This tactic just works, so do it. Next, and this sounds obvious, but it's another key hack, as soon as the alarm goes off, bolt out of bed before your weaker self sucks you into all the reasons to stay in bed. Before your rational mind can come up with reasons to remain under the covers, you just need to make it through that 66-day habit installation process, so that waking up at 5 a.m. reaches the automaticity point, and it becomes easier to get up early than sleep later. When I first joined the 5 a.m. club, I slept in my workout clothes. Mr. Riley looked slightly embarrassed. Then more doves and butterflies passed by, and a wisp of rainbow could be seen spreading across the Spanish steps.
You're kidding me, brother, right? Laughed the artist as he twirled a dreadlock. You really slept in your exercise gear?
I did, admitted the billionaire. And my running shoes were laid out right next to my bed. I did whatever it took to eliminate the death grip that common excuses could have over me.
The entrepreneur was nodding, She appeared stronger and happier as each day passed. Anyway, let me keep jamming on the point about exercising first thing in your morning. By working out intensely, you'll stimulate that natural pharmacy of mastery, which will make you feel fundamentally different than when you first woke up. The way you feel when you first wake up really isn't the way you'll feel only 20 minutes later at 5:20 a.m. When you run this strategy to bulletproof your neurobiology and battleproof your physiology, please remember that. Obviously, the sweaty movement also transforms your psychology over time. Even if you're usually a non-morning person and grumpy at the beginning of your day, you'll change. The whole neurons that fire together, wire together thing. You'll feel the confidence every leader without a title needs. You'll have the focus to stay on task for hours and hours, so you get your most brilliant work done. And you'll feel much calmer. See, the boost in norepinephrine that fierce morning activity generates not only improves your attention, it leaves you feeling significantly more serene. And more good research proves that exercise regulates the amygdala and the limbic system, the ancient brain we discussed in an earlier class at my beach in Mauritius, so that your responses to stimuli ranging from a hard project or a difficult client to a rude driver or a screaming baby are much more graceful instead of hysterical. "Pretty marvelous benefits," remarked the entrepreneur. "You're right, Mr. Riley. I couldn't put a price tag on having all these weapons of mass productivity in my arsenal." "Precisely," said the billionaire as he hugged the entrepreneur. "I do love you two," he added. "I'll miss you both." In that moment, the mentor's usual hopefulness shifted into some unknown sadness. "Our time together is coming to an end. Maybe we'll meet again. I really hope so. But I don't know." His voice trailed off, and he looked away again, up at the white church that stood behind where they had gathered, a glorious tribute to the brightest examples of visionary architecture. The billionaire reached into a pocket of his black sweatpants and pulled out a pill, popping it into his mouth like a child consuming a tiny piece of candy. "Anywho, as you can also see on the deconstruction," he went on, holding up the model, "working out first thing in the morning also elevates your metabolism, and it fuels the fat-burning engine of your body, so you burn any excess more efficiently and lean out more quickly. Another valuable triumph, right? Oh, and as you optimize your fitness, you'll set yourself up to stay healthy your entire lifetime. Train harder, live longer, is a smart motto I built my empires by. You now know that one of the keys to legendary is longevity. Do not die. You can't own your game and change the world if you're pushing up daisies in a cemetery," the titan of industry articulated energetically. "The primary point that I'm trying to offer on the first part of this calibrated versus superficial morning protocol is essentially this. Your life will feel and work 100 times better when you're in the finest physical condition you've ever been in. Sweaty exercise as your first move after rising with the sun really is a total life changer. Period. So, do whatever it takes to code in this habit. Whatever it takes, cats." "Can I ask you another question, Mr. Riley?" the entrepreneur asked politely. "Go for it," said the billionaire. "What if I want to exercise for longer than 20 minutes? "Totally cool," noted the billionaire. "This morning routine isn't written in stone like those words carved into that obelisk up there," he added as he pointed up to the monument sitting on a small platform just above the Spanish steps. "Take all I'm sharing and then make it yours. Customize it to fit your preferences and make it bespoke to suit your lifestyle." The billionaire inhaled a fresh breath of Roman air, the same air the emperors, gladiators, statesmen, and craftspeople breathed 1,000 years ago. Just imagine breathing that air and standing there with these 3 fascinating members of the 5 a.m. club. "This brings me to the second 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula that you need to run over your victory hour.
The time between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m. is when you reflect.
What exactly do you mean by reflect? Asked the artist,
exemplifying his newfound confidence in being a great student. He rubbed his goatee as he voiced the question. His arm rested around the entrepreneur's shoulder. As I've been suggesting during our time together, managing your morning well is a main skill of exceptionalists. Using the front end of your day expertly is such a key determinant of business eminence and personal magnificence. And one element of a cleverly granulated morning routine is a period of deep peace, some quietude and solitude for yourself before the complexity starts arriving and your family needs your energy and all your other responsibilities take over. Tranquility is the new luxury of our society. So during this segment of your victory hour, savor some stillness. Contemplate how you're living and on who you hope to become. Be thoughtful and intentional on the values you want to be loyal to over the hours ahead of you, and how you wish to behave. Consider what needs to happen for this to be a great day amid the construction of a legendary life.
This pocket will be super important to me, remarked the entrepreneur as her bracelets clinked together. One of them was shiny and new. It bore the phrase, "All these early mornings will make me an icon someday."
I agree with you, expressed the billionaire. Reflecting on what's most important to a life beautifully lived will leave you with what the Spellbinder calls residual wisdom throughout the rest of the day. For example, thinking quietly about the weighty value of purely producing work that represents mastery, or remembering your commitment to treating people kindly and respectfully during the second pocket, re-anchors those virtues within your awareness. And so, as you experience the remainder of your day, the residue of your reconnection with this wisdom stays in focus, infusing every single moment and guiding each one of your choices.
Another butterfly flitted by. Three more soon followed the first, almost poetically. The billionaire decided to deepen his explanation on reflection, but first popped another pill. He put his hand on his heart and looked at the sensational view of Rome.
The way the light falls here really is like nowhere else, he thought. I'll miss my Roma.
The billionaire stared down the steps at the white boat sculpted by Pietro Bernini, and then glanced at the flower shop, also in the square below.
In so many ways, reflection is a main source of transformation because once you know better, you definitely can do better. During this 20-minute segment of the Victory Hour, all you need to do is get serene, stay silent, and enter the stillness. What a gift you'll give yourself in this era of such scattered attention, worry, and noisiness.
That would be a giant gift to give to myself and to my business, acknowledged the entrepreneur.
I'm realizing I spend so much of my time doing and reacting, and so little of my time deliberating and planning.
You've talked about how the great ones leverage periods of isolation. I've read that many famous geniuses had a habit of sitting in solitude for hours with nothing more than a pad of paper and a pen for capturing the insights that would start flashing across the screen of their imaginations.
Yes, commented the billionaire. Developing a tremendous imagination is a highly important portal into a celebrated fortune. One of the things that makes the historic sites here in Rome so special is the sheer size of the structures. What vision and confidence the Romans who created them must have had, and what skill to have turned the ideas into something real. My point is that every single one of the sensational edifices in the Eternal City is the product of the imagination of a human being, properly used. So, yes, you should also use the reflection pocket to invent, visualize, and dream. 20 years from now, a quote I think comes from Mark Twain says, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover.
All great artists dream about a future few believe is possible, stated the artist sagely.
Yep, nodded the billionaire. Another tactic you can practice at this time is to write out what the Spellbinder calls a pre-performance blueprint. This is simply a written statement of your ideal day ahead. Researchers confirm that pre-commitment strategies work beautifully to increase your focus and discipline to get things done. You'll have a clear and calibrated script for your day ahead, so it unfolds the way you want it to. Of course, nothing in business and life is perfect. Still, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do our best to pursue it. The heroic women and men of the world were all perfectionists. They were maximizers, immensely obsessed with being remarkable at all they did. So, take at least 10 minutes to write out your perfect day. The mogul peered over at the flower shop again. He raised his left index finger up to the Roman sky. A volcanically attractive young woman with high cheekbones, tortoiseshell glasses, a gray linen blouse and fashionable trousers stood up, holding a metal attaché case. She then sprinted up the steps, like a cheetah chasing its dinner. "Hi, Vienna," said the billionaire as she arrived.
"Salve, Mr. Riley," replied the young woman respectfully. "We are delighted to see you back in Rome. Sir, I have your items."
The aide entered a code into the lock, and the case sprung open. Inside were 3 luxuriously crafted journals, bound by the most supple Italian leather. The billionaire handed one to the entrepreneur and one to the artist. He lifted the last one, clutched it close to his heart, and licked it. Yes, he actually licked his journal.
"When we're at the magical vineyards of South Africa, I'll explain why I just ran my tongue over my diary,"
the billionaire enthused with ever-increasing mystery.
"South Africa?" quizzed the artist loudly. "When are we going?"
"Magical vineyards?" queried the entrepreneur. The billionaire ignored them both. "You're good, Vienna," spoke the billionaire to his assistant. "Really good. Ci vediamo dopo," he added,
as she walked down the ancient steps and hopped onto the back of a black scooter that had been waiting for her before it raced away. As the entrepreneur and the artist opened their journals, they saw a carefully detailed framework on the first page.
"Another learning diagram for us?"
asked the artist in a grateful tone.
"Si," noted the billionaire.
"Brother, I love these models," the artist said. "Priceless teaching tools to make confusing concepts incredibly clear."
"And super relevant," added the entrepreneur. "Clarity breeds mastery, right?"
"Truth,"
affirmed the industrialist. "And you're welcome, cats. But it's been the Spellbinder who has invested decades of his rich life creating these frameworks to explain the philosophy and methodology of the 5 a.m. Club. They look simple because it's taken him his entire professional lifetime to handcraft them. It takes long years of extreme attention and ardent isolation to strip away the complexities of any work to reach the simplicity that sits at the touchstone of genuine genius. It's like when an amateur looks at a masterpiece. It looks simple because he doesn't comprehend the expertise of the master in taking away all that was unnecessary. Removing the non-essentials to produce the gem takes years of dedication and decades of devotion. Making things look simple to the untrained eye is the mark of a maestro. The learning model in the lavish leather journals is reproduced on the enhancement, just so you have a clear sense of what the 3 companions saw on that sunny morning in Rome. "Let me get to the point of these gifts my assistant brought us," the billionaire continued. "During the reflection pocket of the 20-20-20 formula, another absolutely winning move is to write in a journal. And so I had these made for you by an Italian craftsperson. Hope they work wonders for you."
The magnate looked down Via dei Condori. Street cleaners were hard at work. Tourists were strolling along the avenue, taking selfies and buying trinkets from street vendors.
"The Spellbinder loves hanging with me here in Roma. If we're lucky, we'll see him later this morning. I know he went running at daybreak along the river to Prati before heading off to a fishing excursion at a place a few hours from here. Oh, by the way, he formalized writing in a journal for at least a few of the minutes between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m. with the term daily diaries.
The key when you do this is just to write. Don't think too much. Simply download your commitments for the hours ahead. Record your precious ambitions and activate your gratitude by listing what's good in your life right now. Please also use your journal as a place to process through any frustrations, disappointments, and resentments in your heart so you let them go. It's miraculous how you'll release toxic emotions and low energy from your system when you write down your suppressed hurts, freeing up maximum creativity, premium vitality, and unmatchable performance. A super way to fireproof and fortify my heart set, right? Said the entrepreneur. Yahoo! Applauded the billionaire, who then placed a finger upon the learning model on the first page of his journal. Here are some of the rewards you'll receive when you invest 10 or perhaps the entire 20 minutes of pocket number 2 of your victory hour in writing your daily diaries. And to repeat, so I reinforce, I suggest you don't write only the positive elements of your current life, but also those aspects of your experience that are causing discomfort and pain. Because the quickest way out of hard emotions is to have the wisdom and courage to go straight into them. Feel them to heal them. Name them to let go of them. Put a written voice to the dark energy of life's burdens to dissolve them. These are breakthrough insights I'm revealing to you two here. Because once you reclaim the power blocked by layers of toxic emotions and the wounds of the past, your mindset, heart set, health set, and soul set will all soar exponentially. And when your four interior empires escalate through your effortful self-purification, your supreme self begins to assume command. This then yields the external empires you both hope to see more of. What I'm trying to explain is this. Difficult feelings that you don't find a healthy way to remove become repressed, which creates stress, poor productivity, and even disease. Cool diagram, acknowledged the artist. Are you saying that if I don't feel the uncomfortable feelings, they build up and get stuck inside me to the point where I could get sick? Yes, what you just said is pretty much what I'm suggesting, Mr. Riley confirmed. Those stuck toxic emotions layer over your gifts, talents, and higher wisdom. This is one of the primary reasons most people on the planet have forgotten the heroes they are. When we avoid feeling, we lose access to our most powerful selves and forget the truths of life, that each of us can accomplish astounding things and produce astonishing works and realize radiant health and know true love and live a magical life and be helpful to many. I speak fact here, but most of us have so much fear, pain, anger, and sorrow built up over our real selves, we have no sense of the opportunities that sit right in front of us. All that dark energy blinds us from seeing them and blocks our access to our primal genius. The great people of history had this access. Today, the majority have lost it. A magical life? Stated the entrepreneur. You keep speaking of magic. Sounds a little far out. A little granola. Yes, a magical life, responded the billionaire firmly but politely. I'll explain how you enter the magic available to all of us when we get to South Africa. Once you learn what I'll teach you in the vineyard there, your ability to manifest more money, better health, greater joyfulness, and deeper inner peace will grow dramatically. But I can't share anything about how to live in the magic yet. I'm not allowed to, commented the billionaire mysteriously. You need to feel a wound to heal a hurt, the billionaire continued with precision. I've endured a lot of suffering in my life. Business defeats, personal losses, physical failures. I'm actually going through something right now that's creating sorrow in my heart. The billionaire's high-spirited demeanor suddenly began to fade. For an instant, he looked older. He hunched over, and his breathing grew labored. But then he recovered. Anywho, the good news, he said energetically as he raised both arms high into the Roman air, is that I'm not carrying much past pain in my wonderful present and into my fantastic future. I used the daily diary practice during the reflect pocket
of the 2020-20 formula to move through and release it all. This skill alone is one of the reasons I'm so full of wonder, gratefulness, and peacefulness, most of the time, and how I've been able to achieve so much. Living in the past steals so much energy from most people, you know? This is a massive explanation for why most people are so unproductive. The Spellbinder's the only person I've ever met who made the link between poor performance and emotional turbulence. But think about it. It's totally true. So imagine what doing your daily diaries each morning will do for your accomplishment and the success of your business, especially as you navigate what you're going through. The billionaire spoke with palpable empathy as he placed one lean arm around the entrepreneur and the other over the shoulder of her new boyfriend. "And for your art," he added, turning to the artist.
"And carrying past pain is so exhausting," the artist agreed. "We all get defeated, and sometimes nearly devastated by life."
The billionaire kept on with his discourse. "I also encourage you to find at least a few moments during the second pocket, between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m., to meditate. The Spellbinder taught me how to do so, and it has profoundly helped my concentration, my confidence, my performance, and the calm that I feel while running a sophisticated business portfolio. And calm performers are the highest achievers. There's nothing crackerjack about meditation, so get over any biases you might have around the skill and go ahead and lock it in. It's simply one of the world's best ways to strengthen your focus, preserve your natural power, and insulate your inner peace. There's a lot of wonderful science confirming the value of a regular meditation ritual. So even if you want to dismiss the method, the data says it works phenomenally as a human optimization habit. Current research proves that regular meditation helps lower levels of cortisol, thus lowering your stress. It's also a strong way to grow the relationship you have with yourself. You need to make more time for you, to scale your fluency and intimacy with your higher nature, to reconnect with your best part, that side of you that understands the impossible is mostly the untried, and that knows of your hidden reservoirs of luminosity, audacity, and love, that portion of you that still can see the greatness in others, even when they behave badly, and that models positivity in the world, even when such virtues are not replied to you. Yes, go into this 20-moment sanctuary of silence and stillness each morning and remember all you truly are. Truth speaks in the solitude of the day's earliest light. And then carry this breathtaking knowledge with you through the remaining hours of the gift we call a day. The billionaire fell to the ground and did a series of rapid push-ups. Then a plank pose followed. You're now very familiar with this quirky tycoon's bizarre maneuvers. "I need to get onto the third pocket of the 2020-20 formula so we can wrap up today's mentoring session. I've got a series of meetings set up for later, and then I'm off to a splendid dinner with Adriano, the Spellbinder, and a few other old friends," the billionaire said cheerfully.
"Sure," said the artist. "No sweat."
"Of course," said the entrepreneur. "We heard about a restaurant close to Campo di Fiore that makes great carbonara. We're trying it tonight."
"Yummy," acknowledged the billionaire, sounding more like a 5-year-old than a captain of commerce.
He then continued his discussion on the morning routine of empire builders, super achievers, and the saviors of our civilization. Suddenly the billionaire clutched his stomach, wincing in pain. "You okay, Mr. Riley?" the entrepreneur asked as she rushed toward her mentor.
"Absolutely," he replied, pretending everything was fine. "Let's keep moving. I'm totally committed to making sure you learn everything that was taught to me about the 5 a.m. club before I leave you. Please, just make sure you share the Spellbinder's teachings with as many people as you can. You'll be improving the world as you do." "I might not be able to," he said as his voice trailed off.
"Okay," the industrialist carried on. "Let's keep going. Pocket 3 of the 2020-20 formula is designed to help you grow daily. Remember the 2x3x mindset? To double your income and impact,
triple your investment in two primary areas, your personal mastery and your professional capability. So 5:40 to 6 a.m., the final segment of the Victory Hour, is when you deepen your base of knowledge, increase your acumen, improve your expertise, and outlearn your competition. Leonardo da Vinci said, "One can have no smaller or greater mastery than mastery of oneself," said the artist.
"I love you even more today," the entrepreneur said.
"Well, I adore you more every day," he replied with a grin.
"Oh, brother," laughed the billionaire, "I'm caught in a love fest right here on the Spanish Steps."
He closed his eyes and recited these words of Stoic philosophy by Seneca, the Roman statesman. "Each day acquire something that will fortify you against poverty, against death, indeed against other misfortunes as well. And after you have run over many thoughts, select one to be thoroughly digested that day."
The billionaire opened his eyes and stated simply, "Leadership on the outside begins within." He added, "During the final pocket, from 5:40 to 6 a.m. of the 2020-20 formula, work on becoming more valuable to your industry as well as to society. See, you don't receive success and influence only because of what you want. You attract it into your life based on who you are, as a person and as a producer. Private desire without personal development is like dreaming of having a gorgeous garden, but not planting any seeds. We magnetize ourselves to excellent rewards by raising the value of ourselves. I made my fortune from this idea. As I improved, my capacity to improve the lives of more people improved through the elevated quality of my service. As I made myself more knowledgeable, I became more valuable to the fields in which I conducted my businesses, which lifted my income and my impact. Here's a concept fairly foreign in today's age. Read a book. Study the lives of the greatest men and women of the past by consuming their autobiographies during the Grow Pocket. Learn about the latest advancements in psychology. Devour works on innovation and communication, productivity and leadership, prosperity and history, and watch documentaries on how the best do what they do and grew into who they are. Listen to audiobooks on personal mastery, creativity, and business building. One of the traits all my billionaire friends and I have in common is we absolutely love to learn. We grow and capitalize on our gifts and talents relentlessly. We invest in expanding ourselves and our pro games constantly. We are all totally into reading, improving, and feeding our limitless curiosity. Fun for us is going to a conference together. We go to one, at least one, every 3 months, so we stay inspired, excellent, and absolutely switched on. We don't spend much time on meaningless entertainment because we're just too invested in endless education. Life is very equitable, you know," said the mogul, sounding quite philosophical and now looking much stronger. "You'll receive from it what you give to it. Key natural law there. So give a lot more by becoming a lot better." "Okay, so now you have it," Mr. Riley summed up exuberantly. "A beautifully engineered, flawlessly calibrated morning routine for a world-class business and personal life. Embrace it fully. Run it daily, or at least 5 days a week, and your productivity, prosperity, sense of joy, and serenity will accelerate potently along with the value you are able to deliver to our world."
"What's next?" inquired the artist.
"We'll now go visit the dead,"
was the billionaire's only reply. Chapter 14. The 5 a.m. Club grasps the essentialness of sleep. You cannot imagine the craving for rest I feel, a hunger and thirst. For 6 long days since my work was done, my mind has been a whirlpool, swift, unprogressive, and incessant, a torrent of thoughts leading nowhere, spinning round swift and steady. H.G. Wells.
The Roman sun rose even higher as the three companions gazed over the rooftops and at the Vatican. The streets were now noisy. The Eternal City had come to life. Again, the Titan's hand went up into the air. Again, one could see another assistant appearing out of nowhere. This time, a man who appeared to be in his early 40s ran across the square, stood in its center, and pulled out a device that he spoke into, quickly and loudly. Within a minute, three women with scarves over their hair, like you would see in those wonderful Italian films of the 50s, appeared on three sparkling red Vespas. They parked them at the foot of the Spanish steps, right by the sculpture of the boat, before disappearing down Via delle Carrozze.
"Let's go, people," exclaimed the billionaire. "It's time to ride."
"But what's this about visiting the dead?" asked the entrepreneur. The creases on her forehead reawakened, and her arms now crossed.
"Trust me. Hop on your scooter and follow me," the billionaire instructed.
The three companions wound their way through the ancient streets of Rome. Even the most unknown church or innocuous obelisk left them in a dreamy state of awe. The sunshine was dazzling now, as both the Romans and the tourists filled the boulevards. The city felt so alive. In one square they passed, a remarkably talented opera singer with a man standing next to her to collect money, touched the hearts of bystanders by singing like she had no tomorrow. As the billionaire, the entrepreneur, and the artist continued their trek along the roads of Rome, they saw yet another surreal sight, the Pyramid of Cestius, built between 18 and 12 BC as a tomb.
"An Egyptian-style pyramid in the heart of the Eternal City. Unbelievable," thought the artist as he tried to keep his eyes on the avenues.
Soon they were out of the city walls. The billionaire was still leading. The entrepreneur noticed, for the first time all morning, that the back of his t-shirt carried the wise words of Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, who said, "The early morning has gold in its mouth." And on the back of his helmet was printed lettering that read, "Rise first, die last." "This man is a marvel," she thought, "one of a kind." The entrepreneur knew this sensational adventure would soon be coming to an end, but she hoped Mr. Riley would remain in her life. She not only had grown to admire him, she felt she needed him. They rode for a while, and then the billionaire motioned that they should stop on an eerily desolate side street. After they parked the scooters without saying a word, he beckoned his students to follow him, past a stone bust of the great Roman military general, Julius Caesar, down a series of stairs and into a dark and dusty tunnel.
"Where the heck are we?" asked the artist.
Beads of sweat had formed on the delicate skin under his eyes. "Imagine you were right there with these three human beings, and just picture how the artist looked at this moment."
"We're in the catacombs," announced the billionaire. "This is where the ancient Romans buried their dead. All these subterranean passageways are burial grounds, cemeteries, that date from the 2nd to the 5th century."
"And why are we here?" questioned the entrepreneur.
"I brought you to this crypt to make a point," stated the billionaire in his usual warm tone.
At that instant, the sound of footsteps could be heard, coming from the end of the tunnel. The artist glanced at the entrepreneur, eyes wide open. The billionaire didn't say a word. The footsteps could be heard growing closer and more forceful.
"I don't have a good feeling," commented the entrepreneur.
The footsteps continued, as the hazy light of a candle struck a decrepit wall of the catacomb. Then the whole place went quiet. A lone figure slowly emerged, holding a tall candle and with a hood over his head, the kind monks wear. No words were exchanged. It was all extremely mysterious. The intruder stood before the three friends. The candle was raised higher and moved in four circular motions. Then the hood came off. The face that was revealed was a familiar one, a face that had appeared at stadiums across the planet, and one that had inspired many millions to do amazing work, accomplish epic dreams, and lead legendary lives. It was the Spellbinder.
"My God, you scared me,"
the artist said, still sweating profusely.
"Sorry. Stone told me to come down here. I got a little lost,"
apologized the Spellbinder.
"Extraordinary place, these catacombs. It's a little creepy in here, though,"
he added, looking healthy, happy, and relaxed.
"Hey, buddy,"
declared the billionaire as he hugged his advisor and best friend.
"Thanks for showing up."
"Of course," the Spellbinder replied.
"Well, let me get straight to the insights you wanted me to share with these two. You know I always come to play,"
he added with a low five, like you see pro basketball players giving teammates after making a successful free throw.
"Mr. Riley asked me to share my thoughts on the value of deep sleep as an element of sustained elite creativity, peak productivity, and rare air performance with you. And he told me he wanted to do it down here, because not only are the inhabitants of this crypt in an endless slumber, but science now confirms that one of the primary ways we bring on an early death is by not sleeping enough."
"Really?" asked the entrepreneur, folding her arms once again. The light from the candle disclosed a simple silver engagement ring on a finger.
"No, you guys didn't,"
gushed the billionaire, glee emanating from his raspy voice. He did a quick, quirky dance move he hadn't done before.
"We did," the entrepreneur and the artist responded together. "And you're both invited to our wedding. It'll be small but special," the artist added.
"You're welcome to have the ceremony on my beach in Mauritius," offered the billionaire. "Heck, I'll treat you two cats by handling all costs. For you both, and for your families, and for all of your friends. The whole thing's all on me. It's the least I can do for you two new members of the 5 a.m. club. You trusted a crazy-looking old man. You came on this wild odyssey. You've been open to all the teachings. You've been doing the work. You two are my heroes."
The billionaire let out an urgent cough. Perhaps it was from the dust of the passageway. He then placed three fingers against his chest, right where his heart sat, and coughed again.
"You okay?" asked the entrepreneur, unfolding her arms and touching one of his muscular shoulders.
"Yes."
"So," said the Spellbinder, "let me offer some insights on why it's not only the calibration of the first hour of your day that's mission essential for leadership excellence and exponential productivity, but also the management of the last hour of your evening, if you're truly serious about experiencing premium results."
He held the candle under his face, creating a near mystical effect.
"What makes genius-level performance is a delicate balance between the mastery of your morning routine and the optimization of your nightly ritual. You won't be able to orchestrate the 20-20-20 formula Stone walked you through this morning if you don't sleep properly."
"I'm almost always sleep-deprived," acknowledged the entrepreneur. "Sometimes I struggle to function. My memory is off, and I feel exhausted."
"Yeah," agreed the artist. "My sleep's a mess. I'm up a bunch of times through the night, but since I've been on this trip, I've slept good each night."
"That's great to hear, because we're in the midst of a ferocious global sleep recession,"
vocalized the Spellbinder, clearly articulating the dramatic languaging he'd become internationally known for.
"The internet and social media and the widespread absorption with our devices are fueling much of it. Research is now confirming that the blue light emitted from our tools of technology reduces the amount of melatonin within us. Melatonin is a chemical that informs your body that it needs to get sleep. There's zero doubt that checking your gadgets all day long impairs cognitive function, as you've learned. And there's no question at all that being in front of your screens before bedtime causes sleep dysfunction. I could go deeper and explain how the light of your devices activates photoreceptors called intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells that limit melatonin production and negatively affect your circadian rhythm, which hurts your sleep. But you get my point here.
I do, confirmed the entrepreneur. I really do. I'll restructure my pre-sleep routine so that I wake up at 5 a.m. feeling better and full of energy. I promise to do this so I rest well and so I can implement the 2020-20 formula flawlessly.
For the 66-day minimum, until it becomes an automatic habit, interjected the artist. And then for the rest of my life, so it actually becomes easier to run the 5 a.m. method than to stay in bed sleeping. When we don't sleep enough, the spellbinder picked up, not only is it fiercely difficult to get up early, but a number of other highly damaging things impair your productivity and minimize your performance, along with reducing your happiness and eroding your health.
Tell us, requested the entrepreneur.
Yes, tell them, encouraged the billionaire, now squatting in the catacomb. This posture is really good for your lower back as well as for your digestion, he added, oddly. Well, when you sleep, and the key here is not only the quantity of sleep, but the quality of your sleep states, your neurons shrink by 60% as cerebral spinal fluid washes through your brain. It's also been discovered that the lymphatic system, which was previously believed to be only in your body, is in your skull, too. All this means that we, as human beings, have evolutionarily architected a powerful process to essentially wash the brain so it stays in optimum condition. And this cleansing mechanism only happens while we sleep.
Unbelievably interesting, the entrepreneur noted.
Tell them about HGH, implored the billionaire.
Sure, said the spellbinder. HGH, human growth hormone, is produced in the pituitary gland of the brain and is important for healthy tissues in your body, a strong functioning metabolism, and a long lifespan. Increased levels of HGH raise your moods, cognition, energy levels, and lean muscle mass, while reducing your cravings through the regulation of leptin and ghrelin. Here's the main point. While HGH is released through exercise, which is part of the reason pocket number one of the 2020-20 formula is such a game-changer, 75% of HGH production happens when you sleep. And here's the real key. To maximize the process of the brain being washed properly and HGH being produced excellently, so you expand your creativity, productivity, vitality, and longevity, you need 5 complete 90-minute sleep cycles. That's what the scientific studies are now confirming. That's 7.5 hours of sleep each night. You also should know that research proves that it's not only sleep deprivation that kills. Oversleep, 9 or more hours, also has been shown to shorten life.
Do you have a learning model for us that explains all this, so our awareness gets super clear and calibrated versus vague and lame? Asked the artist.
Good job, Stone. You taught them the 3-step success formula, applauded the spellbinder.
The billionaire, still near to the dirty floor of the crypt, nodded, then he burped.
Yes, I do have a framework for you, confirmed the spellbinder. I've deconstructed my own evening routine that has helped me consistently sleep wonderfully over all these years.
The spellbinder then pulled out a flashlight that had been hidden in his robe. He unscrewed the top portion, revealing a secret compartment in the tube. From it, he extracted 2 thin scrolls, handing one to the entrepreneur and the other to the artist. The diagram showing the pre-sleep ritual is found on the enhancement.
I don't know how to thank you, the entrepreneur said. Both of you, she indicated, looking over to the billionaire, who was now doing sit-ups in the candlelight while whispering,
great fortune and weighty wisdom keep coming my way. I'm always a leader, never a victim. A lion, not a sheep. I love my life and am making it even better every day. And the more people I help, the more happy I am.
I second my beloved's gratitude, commented the artist. He reached over and lovingly stroked the entrepreneur's hair. If the world knew and applied the philosophies and methodologies of the 5 a.m. Club, every human being alive would transform, the entrepreneur reinforced. And I now get that awakening with the sun isn't at all about getting by on less sleep. It's more the old early to bed, early to rise point.
And as each of us does our part to make our personal revolutions, every relationship in our life, from the one we have with our craft to the connections we share with each other, improves with us, offered the artist.
Sort of like Mahatma Gandhi's words, be the change you wish to see in the world, added the entrepreneur, her face glowing in the soft light of the candle as she rubbed her new ring. I read a little about his life before I went to sleep last night.
With all due respect, pronounced the spellbinder compassionately, Mahatma Gandhi's actual words have been adjusted over the years to become a soundbite that suits a culture experiencing a collective deficit of attention.
What he actually said, interrupted the billionaire, was if we could change ourselves, the tendencies in the world would also change. As a man changes his own nature, so does the attitude of the world change toward him. We need not wait to see what others do.
Awesome job, Stone, remarked the spellbinder, smiling. But I do appreciate your larger point, he said kindly to the entrepreneur. And of course you're right. My personal ask of both of you is that you'll share as many of the principles and mental models as you can with as many people as possible. Because, yes, if every business leader, commercial worker, scientist, artist, architect, political influencer, sports performer, teacher, mother, firefighter, father, taxi driver, daughter, and son, simply install the morning routine and nightly ritual we've shared with you, we'd have a whole new world. A lot less sadness, rudeness, mediocrity, and hate, and so much more creativity, beauty, peacefulness, and love. And now I need to leave, announced the spellbinder. See you tonight at dinner, Stone. Cachua Pepe's on the menu, right?
Of course, replied the billionaire as he stood up. He began to cough again and appeared unsteady for a moment. His left hand trembled. A leg wobbled. The spellbinder quickly looked away.
I need to go, was all he said before dissolving into the darkness of the tomb.
The three who remained made their way out of the crypt, back up the stairs, and into the blinding Roman sunlight. The billionaire started his scooter and waved for his guests to follow. They ventured down a maze of narrow streets, past an antiquated aqueduct, and back through city walls. Soon they were navigating the congested streets of the historical center and traveling down Via dei Condotti. After parking their scooters, the entrepreneur and the artist followed the billionaire up the Spanish steps.
Well, he declared, this brings us full circle to where we began this morning's mentoring session at 5 a.m. Before I let you cats go for today, I have one last super gnarly model for you two. The spellbinder taught it to me when I was much younger, and it proved itself to be priceless. I know it'll wrap up this morning's teachings with a very neat bow.
The billionaire clapped his hands with a thunderous whap. A whirring noise could be heard in the distance, emanating from Villa Borghese. Soon the sound grew louder and closer. An object hovered above the heads of the billionaire, the entrepreneur, and the artist. Tourists sitting on the Spanish steps, sipping espresso and eating gelato, turned their eyes toward the heavens, trying to figure out what was going on. You would have enjoyed being there at that fabulous moment.
Mamma mia! Cried
an elderly woman in a free-flowing, flowery dress. She was holding a baby in one arm and a bouquet of glamorously colored tulips in the other.
It's a drone!
Yelled a teenage boy sporting a snapback cap, a denim jacket with doubt is not an option stitched into the back of it, and ripped jeans with humongous holes at the knees. For some unknown reason, he was barefoot. The billionaire began to expertly pilot the little aircraft to a precise landing as smooth as the surface of a lake on a sweltering summer afternoon. He winked at his two students.
"Still got the gift," he beamed.
The drone carried a wooden box that, when opened, contained a thin sheet of glass with a learning model on it. The Amazing Day Deconstruction can be found on the enhancement.
"I thought you guys would find this very detailed step-by-step game plan for an amazing day valuable. Of course, this is just one possible way to carve it out. You'll notice the evening regime is a little different from the Spellbinders. As usual, how you apply all these tactics we've shared is completely up to you. It's your life. Live it as you choose. And yet, this particular framework helped me tremendously, because it took many of the powerful elements of the 20-20-20 formula I walked you through earlier this morning, along with key aspects of a world-class pre-sleep process, and built them into an immensely specific daily map that anyone, and I do mean anyone, can run to experience amazing days consistently. It's like a food recipe. Follow the steps, and you'll get the results.
And amazing days create an upward spiral into amazing weeks, and amazing weeks morph into amazing months," stated the artist, closing his journal.
"And amazing months become amazing quarters, and amazing quarters yield amazing years and decades and ultimately," added the entrepreneur, closing her journal,
"an amazing lifetime," the three said together. "Day by day, step by step, an epic existence gets handcrafted," summed up the billionaire, wearing his fashionable shades, the kind the in-the-know Romans sport in their effortlessly stylish way, that displays an I-don't-try-too-hard-to-look-this-phenomenally-cool kind of attitude.
More seagulls flapped their wings and made those annoying sounds seagulls seemed to enjoy making. The billionaire was clearly an exceedingly loving soul, not just rich in money, but also wealthy of heart. But he did detest seagulls, and the way they had done a takeover of many of the rooftops in the core of Rome over the past few years.
"Need to do something about those feathered creatures,"
he ruminated, displaying uncharacteristic irritation.
"Anywho, now you know why I brought you to the Spanish Steps. Generating explosive productivity, elite health, exceptional prosperity, sustained joy and boundless inner peace really is a step-by-step game. Small, daily, seemingly insignificant improvements, when done consistently over time, do yield staggering results. Daily micro-wins and infinitesimal optimizations really are the surest way to a life that you'll be ever so proud of at the end. This truly is one of my favorite places in the world, you know? I wanted you two to be with me to not only teach you the transformational process of the 20-20-20 formula, but also to reinforce the reality that living remarkably is indeed an upward spiral to the top of a staircase of success and significance. And as you take this journey toward the fullest experience of your highest greatness, step by step, a magic and beauty as obvious as you now witness here will infuse your days and only accelerate over your years. Of this, you can be sure." After carefully scanning the learning model on the glass, the entrepreneur wondered aloud, "What's the 90-91 rule and the 60-10 method? And I don't understand some of these other notations."
"And what do 2WW and 2MP on the framework stand for?" asked the artist.
"You'll learn soon enough," the billionaire responded, generating suspense. "You both should know I've saved the best and most valuable teachings for the end of our time together."
The billionaire then hugged the entrepreneur and the artist, tighter than ever before. They could see tears slowly filling his eyes, big wails of water.
"I love you two," he said. "Ci vediamo."
And then he vanished. Chapter 15. The 5 a.m. Club is mentored on the 10 Tactics of Lifelong Genius.
If you knew how much work went into it, you would not call it genius. Michelangelo.
São Paulo is so special, isn't it?
Said the billionaire as the unmarked and economy-class car, navigated by a driver in short sleeves, stopped and started through the thick traffic of this city of many millions. As in Mauritius, he sat in the front passenger seat. The three companions had just landed at the jetport and were heading to a boutique hotel in the center of this financial capital of Latin America.
It's a big city, noted the artist, offering another blinding glimpse of the obvious.
We so appreciate you flying us down here to Brazil for our wedding, the entrepreneur enthused.
Thanks, brother, the artist added.
He really wanted the ceremony to take place at your compound by the ocean, said the entrepreneur, pointing to her fiancé with a warm look.
I did, stated the artist agreeably. That place was paradise.
And to be honest, I did too. But I wanted to honor my father, given that he was Brazilian, the entrepreneur explained.
And a happy wife means a happy life, confirmed the artist with a grin.
He then quoted the words from A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh.
If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus 1 day, so I never have to live without you.
The entrepreneur moved closer to the artist in the back of the car as it sailed past magnificent neo-Gothic cathedrals, along great avenues with towering high-rises, down a thoroughfare that showcased the impressive Teatro Municipal de São Paulo, and across a roadway where the majestic Ibirapuera Park sat. What the artist shared made the billionaire think of his wife. He still thought of her every day. And it wasn't the luxurious trips to exotic places that he most recalled, nor the beautiful meals at the world's best restaurants. His mind drifted to the simplest and most apparently ordinary of moments in her company, sharing a cheap but excellent pizza with olive oil drizzled over it, reading books in silence in front of a dazzling fire, nature walks and movie nights, and trips to the grocery store, dancing in their bedroom to music that reminded them of how much they adored each other, and things like how patiently she taught him Italian, the way she'd snort when she'd laugh really hard, and how utterly devoted she was to their only child. Life's finest treasures live in its simplest moments, contemplated the billionaire. In those daily occurrences that most of us take for granted, until we lose them. Lifting his hand to proudly display his engagement ring, the artist continued to express the depth of his love while the car rolled along.
I love her hard, man, he spoke to Mr. Riley. She's my sunrise. My art used to be all that mattered. Didn't have much of a need for anyone around me, you know? Guess I never knew what real love was. Can't imagine living without her now.
The entrepreneur considered how blessed she was. In the period since she attended the Spellbinders event, her mindset, heartset, healthset, and soulset were being reordered and upgraded, radically and irrevocably. She was releasing the limiting beliefs that had been forged from her tumultuous childhood and letting go of the toxic emotions that grew out of her past traumas, as well as from the current predicament with her investors. The billionaire was quite right. She was realizing to an even deeper degree. We each do the best we can based on the level of awareness, maturity, and personal security we are at. People who hurt others really are hurting within themselves. They are behaving in the wisest way they know how to behave. If they were capable of conducting themselves with greater leadership, generosity, and humanity, they would have done so. This profound insight had sown even stronger seeds of forgiveness within the entrepreneur. When she first heard the Spellbinder at his seminar, she was cynical and resistant to a lot of his teachings. She'd since pivoted considerably and was now embracing everything she'd been fortunate enough to learn, wholeheartedly. It was an inspirational evolution to see. It had been 3 weeks since the visit to Rome. In that time, the entrepreneur had been doing wind sprints for 20 minutes at 5 a.m. each morning, along with some serious weight training.
After that, at 5:20 a.m., she'd use the tranquility of the second pocket to contemplate quietly, write lists of the things she was grateful for in her new journal, and then meditate. Finally, at 5:40 a.m., she'd listen to an audiobook about a business maverick, or read something on the subjects of productivity, teamwork, and leadership. She'd also, and this was a hard one, broken the addiction to technology that had been her lifeline, as well as her escape from producing her greatest work, and her diversion from being fully present to life. During these fantastic days away from her office, she'd been creating the brightest output of her career, leveraging the phenomenon of transient hypofrontality the billionaire had taught her to orchestrate results at a level of genius she'd never experienced before, and reclaiming the sense of inner well-being she'd lost. Everything she was applying was delivering enormous rewards. Everything in her life seemed to be clicking again. She was fitter than she'd been in years, happier and more serene than she'd ever known, and more productive during the periods she was away from the artist conducting business than she'd imagined she could be. All thanks to the 5 a.m. club, which she understood more and more, allowed her to protect her natural talents in a commercial world of such noise, stress, and invitation to relentless interruption. The victory hour was providing her with an insulated period at the front end of her day to build her four interior empires, so she could construct outer ones. With her newfound hopefulness, confidence, and forgiveness, she'd even made excellent progress in negotiating a solution with her investors. She was excited that, shortly, the whole horrible ordeal would be behind her. And soon, she'd be married. She'd always wanted someone special to share in her delights and successes, and she'd always wished to balance her hunger for fortune-making with her dream of having a family, the kind of family she'd missed being part of as a girl. Just as the entrepreneur was about to respond to the artist's musings on the extent of his love, a gunshot rang out. The glass of the vehicle's windshield shattered, instantly looking like a spider's web. Two broad-shouldered men in ski masks, with machine guns over their shoulders, violently motioned for the driver to unlock the doors. When he attempted to accelerate out of harm's way, another bullet pierced the glass, grazing the chauffeur's ear and prompting an outburst of blood. "Open the door," instructed Mr. Riley, stunningly calmly. "I've got this," he said, as he secretly pressed a red button strategically located under the glove compartment. The doors unlocked. You could hear a click. Speaking in staccato bursts, one of the gunmen screamed, "Everyone out of the car, now, or you die!" As the occupants of the car followed the orders, the other gunman grabbed the entrepreneur by the neck. "We told you to leave the firm. We told you we'd kill you. We told you this was going to happen," he said. Suddenly, a long SUV, the sort you see combat leaders in war zones traveling in, raced up to the scene. Four more people, two men and two women in flak jackets with pistols, raced up on sleek motorcycles. The billionaire's protection team had arrived. Fighting broke out in the street. Knives were pulled and more shots were fired. The billionaire was whisked away with an efficiency that was striking. He still appeared unruffled, and as if he were a general leading a military mission, said simply, "Save my passengers. They are my family members." A helicopter was now floating overhead. Yes, a helicopter. It had 5AC,